Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
And we shall call this segment a segment with Bobby Marks, who is your front office insider for Yahoo Sports, The Vertical. And 20 years he worked with the Brooklyn and with the New Jersey Nets, the whole thing. Bobby, thanks a lot for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Hey, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm okay, and I really appreciate taking you away from right now with the Cavaliers with a 21-10 lead in what is going to be the final game of the season for the Boston Celtics. I'm sure you would agree.
I would. If it isn't, I'd be disappointed in Cleveland. I really do. I think they need to end this series tonight. Just from a rest perspective, and you can't go into a game six. Just you never know what will happen, especially from an injury perspective. But it looks like, at least in the first 5 or 6 minutes here, they've got their foot on the gas right now.
Yeah, and of course, so maybe a wake up call for that game three. There are upsets, and there are upsets. But after you get blown out at home, as Boston was blown out, by 30 and 40 points? I mean, it was over like right after the opening tip. And then game three, and as I say, there are upsets and there are upsets. How surprising, at home with a 21-point lead, they end up losing the Cavaliers that game three.
Well, I think especially how games one and two had played out in Boston, and with Cleveland and going home up 2-0, no Isaiah Thomas, up 15 in the 15 in the third quarter and going into the fourth, and I thought LeBron kind of was passive in that game, and I think it was a good wake up call. I mean, that game, and I think the first half of game four, you got to see Cleveland deal with a little bit of adversity. I understand what Ty Lue said about them. I don't agree from that Boston's harder to game plan instead of Golden State, but when you take Thomas out of there and you insert Marcus Smart, it certainly changes the complexion of how that team plays. They're a little bit better, I would say, defensively, and they certainly in the first half of game four and the fourth quarter of game three, they certainly shared the ball pretty well there.
Yeah, and of course it took the right bounce by Bradley in that particular game three. And, of course, in that one, if I recall, Marcus Smart, a career high, not just postseason or regular, career high, 27. Billy King, you worked with him, yes?
I did.
Is he ever going to work again for a basketball team?
I'm sure he'd like to. I haven't talked to him, too much in the last couple of years, just by text and occasionally. But he's got a good eye for talent. I mean, Billy, from a draft perspective, if Atlanta, who just hired a new GM, or Orlando, they've got Jeff Weltman and John Hammond down there putting together staffs. I think Billy would fit in certainly pretty well down there from a from an evaluation standpoint. He's been in the league, a long time and everything. But I do occasionally see him pop up on TV there.
Yeah, he gave away. There are some at the time. All right, you're getting Pierce. You're going to get with the Garrett, with the tall guy. You're going to get Jason Terry. But look at what he gave up already. He has maybe established a dynasty for the Boston Celtics.
Well, I mean, now, three or four years later, yes. I mean, we could probably, say that. I think a lot of it, I think when you look back at that trade in 2013, it wasn't about, wasn't about the trade, but basically what happened afterwards. I mean, and there was, I guess you could say, the perfect storm of kind of what went wrong. You know, and I always said, you know, there wasn't ever really a safety net for some of the things that did go wrong. You know, I think Brooke breaking his foot in that game in Philadelphia, you know, certainly set things back here. I thought Darren, the way he played, Jason leaving for Milwaukee, the following year, I think that really hurt there. I mean, you went from, we went from Avery to PJ to Jason to Lionel. You had four coaches in a 3-year period there. And you had, you really, as I said, there really wasn't much of a safety net here. So then that's the effect, when you give up, that amount of picks and, your flexibility in there and what looks good on paper, sometimes isn't always the right thing.
Yeah, no, they were going for broke. There's no question. I mean, when Garnett and Pierce and Terry too, went with his team, when those guys were going back to Boston, you know, it was insulting even to some Nets fans, and there aren't as many as Knickerbocker fans, and it doesn't matter, as you know, if the Knicks win or lose, it's always you can't find an empty seat. They're worth more, says Forbes magazine, than any other NBA team. But the bottom line is those guys, Garnett and Pierce, especially with the Nets, they'd go back to Boston and just be so celebrated. And what an odd, surreal sight, because they might have left Boston, but they really, really, in their heart of hearts, in their DNA, they were Celtics, and that's how they're going to be remembered.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, especially when, anytime you're able to deliver a championship like those two players were to the Celtics, that's kind of what you're... I think if they had gone to an Eastern Conference Finals in multiple years and fell short of the NBA Finals, they probably wouldn't be remembered where they are now. But, once you're able to, win that championship like those guys did in Dallas in 2011, you're looked upon, a little bit differently. I think Pierce, having been there for so long, I think, win or lose, I think the championship kind of, capped off his career, certainly for Garnett, where he'd been in Minnesota, for so long. But you're right. I mean, those guys are remembered as Celtics. They're not remembered as Nets or Wizards or for Garnett, a Timberwolves, he was drafted.
Yeah, and because let me ask you something before I ask you what you think Ainge is going to do with number one, and I do want to ask you about the Knicks before we let you go, of course, but because you worked in that front office with the Nets and because you were there with Billy King and you were the assistant GM, do you think it hurt you on the coattails, even though the King was a mastermind and certainly he had input, of course, but nonetheless, he's the guy, he's with the bullseye on the target. But because you worked in that same front office, did it affect you?
I don't know. I never really want to look back. And I think, when everything happened with the Nets, I think, and I say this for anyone who is out of, is not in working with the team and stuff, and it probably doesn't end the best way, is that you take time and you reflect as far as some of the things that you could have done better and maybe things that you might have said at the time, and maybe you kept, maybe you sat on your hands during something there. So, I'm in a good spot. I really am. I love the media and, I give a, it feels like I'm working for 30 teams, not one. And I, hopefully give a good perspective to some of these teams. I've had opportunities where, maybe it, to go get back in, it just didn't really make sense because I really enjoy what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can say this and nobody would argue, you're very good on the radio. What is Ainge going to do with number one? Is he going to hold on to it? Are we going to see him trade that pick? What's going to happen? Are we going to see Fultz and or Ball and Isaiah Thomas in the same backcourt? What's going on?
Well, I think right now, I mean, Ball's not going to go in there. I don't think that deters, from Danny Ainge from where he's going to pick. I'm not a big believer in the individual workout. I think it's more for you to, get to know the player and from an interview perspective. And, I mean, where Fultz is right now, I mean, he's clear. He's head and shoulders. And you can talk to a lot of teams and evaluators that he is the better overall prospect than Ball is from a overall complete game. But, I mean, then you run into the, it's a good issue for Boston to have. If you draft him now, you've got Isaiah Thomas, you've got Marcus Smart, you see what he's been able to do. You still have Terry Rozier. So now you've got four point guards. You know, Smart is up for an extension this summer, and Thomas will be an expiring. So, you can't play all of them at the same time. So he's one of those players, an asset for you. I wouldn't recommend moving that pick. I think you can maybe go out and get Paul George or maybe some of the other assets you have. Jimmy Butler, we've talked about before. He's got a couple years left. I think once you draft a player like Fultz, let's see what he can do, and then maybe his value increases, or maybe Isaiah Thomas's, market increases for him. So they can go in a lot of different directions. You know, it's amazing. They've got cap space potentially. They've got their draft picks. They've got some flexibility in the future with some picks from Memphis and the Clippers. They've got their own. They've got that next pick next year also.
We always thought that the Celtics really wanted to get Paul George. You think Paul George is going to end up in Hollywood?
You know, it'll be interesting. You know, with Indiana, you know, he's going into his last year. I mean, he's got a player option for 18-19 that he'll opt out of. For Kevin Pritchard, you know, new GM, although he's been there, I mean, Kevin's going to have a good comfort level that George is going to be there long term. And if there's any hesitancy that, you know, there's some uncertainty there, I think he's going to certainly have to, you know, put him on, at least look for a trade partner out there. And if I'm the Lakers, you know, at least, you know, and you followed the Carmelo stuff in 2010-11, mm-hmm. where both us and Knicks kind of got in a bidding war, and you still had New York had to gut that team with picks and young players and rotational players. I wouldn't advise that for Los Angeles. I really won't, especially if a player is willing to sign with you as a free agent with potential cap space, and you can retain your core players, your young players. But there's certainly a lot of smoke there. You know, he's from that area. It's been, talked about, I guess, around the NBA circles here. But the question will be, can the team get him as a one-year rental and maybe convince him to stay long-term? You'll mm-hmm. have an advantage from, certainly financially.
And not making the NBA first, second, or third team where he would have, been able to make as much as $210 million, Bobby.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the new rule. I mean, the new rule that starts in July is incentivized players or teams to, for these guys to hit, if you hit that certain criteria, first, second, or third team, or MVP to league, or defensive player of the year, and you can give him a bigger percentage. You know, he could have gotten a $205 million extension this summer. Now he's, he can only get about $100 million, or you can wait until the following year, and, it's $170 million, from Indiana.
Yeah.
So it's a big number. I mean, it really is. It doesn't, it certainly does not help the team out at all.
And by the way, with a Knickerbocker fan, with their feeling regarding the Zen Master, they would rather have you and Billy King running the show for the New York Knickerbockers. Take my word. Is Anthony going to be on the team next year?
Well, they've got to get a resolution here soon, Steve. You know, I wrote about it earlier. I mean, there was basically three options you can do, and we've already gone down the trade options, I guess, and maybe the pool of teams opens up here a little bit, or maybe Carmelo gets a little more flexible as far as mm-hmm. what team he wants to go to. You can do nothing, which, maybe we could have talked about that 2 years ago if there was a better relationship, or... Yeah, I think the last resort is you explore, if it gets real bad, you explore the buyout market. You know, I mean, I'd hate to say that. I mean, how much he's owed, but, could he earn on the open market if he was a free agent? Could he get, $12, $13, $14 million a year? Maybe in a short-term contract, and maybe he's willing to leave that on the table for New York, and they can get some relief and kind of, reboot here. But I would be surprised if he's in a Knick uniform when the season starts next year.
Yeah, and am I wrong and crazy to be thinking that really in his heart of hearts, if he's going to leave the Knickerbockers, that the only real team that he would like to play for and be with is Cleveland?
That's the perception. Where he would fit in, I would think, they've got Korver as a free. He'll have to go for the minimum, or for the taxman level. So if he's willing to take a huge discount, he certainly made a lot of money in his career on multiple max contracts and everything. But that's he's not in a twilight of his career. He's not in the prime of his career there, but he's not a 37, 38 year old player. I think there's still a couple more good years left. Those contracts are usually reserved for that guy who's chasing a ring, who's got one or two years left in his career.
The Knickerbockers, of course, have number 8, and so we'll see who's going to be available. They need a point guard. They need a wingman as their front court is so constructed as we speak right now. What do you think they're going to do with that number 8 pick?
Well, I think at 8, you'll have Dennis Smith, the guard from NC State.
Sure.
You'll have the kid from who's playing in Germany, Frank Nicolani. They both have good size. The European is a little bit bigger. His wingspan is like 7 foot, I believe. Dennis Smith is probably the most physical guard in this draft. He's got, he's about 6'3", 200 pounds. So, mm-hmm. I always say, you usually draft the best available. And I think the Knicks could have the best of both worlds there. I think you could have the best available and you'll also have a need there because, I've said all along that to address their point guard, issue, which is certainly a big need. I think it has to be done in a draft, not in free agency. I wouldn't advise to go the Derrick Rose route to bring him back at a, pretty high number. I think most of the players, when you look at Drew Holiday and George Hill and Kyle Lowry and that group there, I think it's going to be out of the Knicks budget. And I think where this team is now, get a young guard in there, get maybe a veteran that can kind of groom him a little bit and go from there.
All right, we're pressed for time. Warriors or Cavaliers?
I'm going to say Cleveland in 6. I trust the defending champs, and I trust their bench right now.
Cleveland in 6, he likes the king, LeBron. All right, I can't thank you enough, Bobby. Please take care of yourself.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. Bobby Marks with the Vertical, Yahoo Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.